Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. Now, we started talking about faith, and we're going to talk a little bit about hope tonight, and then we'll go back and talk more about faith. But Hebrews 11, it says in verse 1, and everyone's heard this, now hope is the essence of things being hoped. I'm sorry. Now faith is the essence of things being hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Okay, so faith is the actual substance or essence. Some of the translations say faith is the substance of things hoped for yet not seen. So faith is needed when you're believing or hoping or earnestly expecting something and you haven't seen it yet. So that faith has to build and build and build until faith produces what you're hoping for, okay? So let's look at hope. So let's go to Romans 15. Romans 15. I'll just start at the beginning, but we're really going to concentrate around verse 4. But we, the strong ones, ought to bear the weaknesses of those not so strong, and we should not please ourselves. For let each one of us please his neighbor for good to building up. For also Christ did not please himself, but even as it is written, these curses of those cursing you fell on me. So Jesus took all the curses that anybody could curse you. He took that on himself. He carried that so that we can. So if we believe in Christ and we stay in Christ, curses can't touch us. And that's another whole teaching to do on spiritual warfare. But I just want to get us into what he's talking about hope. Verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our instruction, that through patience and encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. Okay? So hope comes by reading the word of God also. Hope comes by understanding the scriptures, looking at the instructions of the scriptures and following those instructions. Patiently staying in the Word of God, and then finding the encouragement of the Scriptures. Now, hope, the best definition of hope that I really can come up with, and this is what most people agree, it really means earnest expectation. Earnestly expecting something to happen. Now, the hope that God talks about in the Bible when he says there's love, faith, and hope, when we think of God's type of hope, that hope is the promises from his word. Okay? So we can earnestly expect negative things, but that's not hope. We're going to be talking about that in the series that we're going to be doing tonight after this session. But I just wanted to go ahead, because we're studying faith, we need to understand we have to have hope before our faith can do anything. Okay? So hope also comes from reading the scriptures, following the instruction of the scriptures according to the word of God. And patiently our hope develops, okay? Verse 5, and may the God of patience and encouragement give to you to mind the same thing among one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord and with one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this, receive one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And I say, Jesus Christ has become a minister of circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises of the Father and for the nations to glorify God for mercy, even as it's been written, because of this, I will confess to you in the nations and I will give praise to your name. And again, he says, rejoice nations with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all the nations, and praise all the people. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall be, and he raising up to rule the nations, on him nations will hope. So Jesus really is our hope. Jesus is the promised Messiah. So Jesus is the hope for Israel, because Israel's hope was always looking for the Messiah, looking for the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the Healer, the one who would set things in order. So Jesus is your hope. So when we read the promises of God, we are seeing what Jesus purchased for us. We are seeing what Israel is still waiting to come that has already come. They missed it. So as a Christian, our hope is based on what Jesus has done. It's based on what he has said. It's based on what he has fulfilled in the Word of God. Okay, so real hope has to line up with truth. Real hope has to line up with truth. That's earnest expectation. Your expectations need to line up with God's Word. And we've got lots of teaching to help you deal with intellectualism, to help you deal with disappointment, to help you deal with all these things that have been sent to what? Take away your hope. See, if the enemy can cause you to become hopeless, then your relationship with God will not produce the promises of God. Remember, faith comes from hearing, and hearing the Word of God, or hearing directly from God, or hearing what he says in his scriptures. Faith is the substance. That relationship with God causes you to trust God. But you have to trust God with hope. In other words, there are people who really believe God and really walk with God and really trust God, but they haven't broken through the lies of the enemy to understand the promises of God is their hope. And just for an example, let's say you have a terrible, probably this happening to anybody, you have a terrible doctor's report. Now, there are people who have a terrible, terrible doctor's report who really have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There are people who are believing to glorify God with the way they die of sickness. They really have faith in a relationship in Jesus Christ being real, but they don't have hope that they'll be healed because they have not studied the scriptures to find the promise from God to then develop their faith to bring forth. In other words, they could really believe God, trust God, love God, walk with God, and be blind in the area of a promise for healing, and therefore die without the promise coming to pass. So what you believe and your doctrine really affects your hope or your earnest expectation. What are you really expecting? If you're not expecting to be made whole, you won't be. And you hear people say, well, if God wants to heal me, he will. No, because you don't understand. Your hope is supposed to be in God's word. Your hope is in his promises. Your faith is in your relationship with him. So you can have hope, earnestly expect healing because you've read the word of God, but not develop your relationship with God and never reach the place of faith to bring forth that promise. So they're very connected. Hope and faith are very connected. So you can really understand where there are people who've had a lot of faith, believing God, trusting God, but they didn't focus that believing and trusting God towards hope because the enemy stole their hope. He took their promise. Wrong doctrine can do that. Experiences that the enemy give us and circumstances can do that. Okay, so we want to understand hope so we have a direction to aim our faith. You know, Lord, I believe you. I know you're real. I trust you. You're increasing my faith. He increases our faith so that we can have what we hope for. As long as what we hope for lines up with his word. True hope always lines up with the word of God. That's why the enemy has watered it down in the English language. We think of hope as meaning maybe, barely, it might happen. We don't think of hope as being something to expect, okay? And really, hope is earnestly expecting, really believing, really expecting it to happen. You know, children have a lot of hope in what their parents tell them. You know, if you come home, if you're a little kid and your parents said, look, soon as I get home tonight, I'm going to take you for ice cream. They earnestly expect you to take them for ice cream. But if they don't have any faith in you, because you've promised that 10 times and you never take them for ice cream, they're not going to believe what you're promising them. Does that make sense? And because we transfer to God what happened in our natural lives, many people don't have hope in their natural life because a father or mother figure, an authority figure, did not come through on what they had promised. And so God has to heal all that. That's why scriptures say, you know, he's not a man that he can lie. All right, so this is making sense? So we got to really understand. So far, usually when I hear teaching on faith, nobody talks about hope that much. And it's like having a lot of faith, but nowhere for it to land that will produce a promise. And we've been talking about on one of our in our evening meeting, and we'll be talking about again tonight, is the spirit of poverty. And the spirit of poverty is taking away from what we hope for. So that we can have lots of faith, but we still suffer because our faith is not in the promises of God. You need to find the promises of it. Don't buy anyone's doctrine, I don't care how anointed they are, unless it's in the Word. Because you're going to get what you hope for. And so if Satan has perverted your understanding of the scriptures, you'll actually suffer when you don't have to suffer because you believe for that. You'll actually not have enough to take care of things because you're believing for that. You could actually think you're being martyred for righteousness' sake, and it truly be because of wrong doctrine. And you'll find out all this when you stand face to face with Jesus. But it would be nice for him not to say, man, this wasn't really the time for you to come home. There were many things for you to do. And just because you thought it would give you a martyr crown doesn't mean it will, unless it was really something the Lord had given you strength to go through for his glory. Not that we're to judge everybody and everything, but just so we can kind of get this in perspective here. Verse 13, and may the God of hope, now look at this, he's the God of hope. He is the God of promises that you should earnestly expect. He is the God of promises that you should earnestly expect. So when you see a promise in God's word and something says in your head, well, it's not for you, or somebody says, well, that'll never work for you, that's the enemy trying to cause you not to trust the God of hope. So it's so important to know, what is it that I'm supposed to hope for? And there's so many scriptures. As for me and my house, we shall be saved. That's a promise. Well, let's get some earnest expectation there. But then you see the enemy just do all he wants to do to stop you from believing, and you begin to not have that hope. So you could have an awesome relationship with the Lord and never see your family saved because you never directed your faith towards that promise. You may have a promise from the Lord. We all have promise to be delivered from every work of evil. We have a promise to be delivered from every work of evil. But if your experience that the enemy has set in your path has caused you to lose hope for that promise, then you will begin to hang on to a fear that says, it'll never work for me. I said in this teaching we're going to be doing on getting free from the poverty mentality and getting free from hope deferred, we're going to really see how important it is to actually spend so much time with God and understand why the enemy blocked hope so that we're not afraid anymore. So we don't just throw in the towel and say, this never will work for me. And why does the Bible say so clearly, do not grow weary in good doing, and in season you'll reap? Because the Lord knows you're going to go through a process to get to your promises. You're going to more than likely walk it through a process. And if you walk in that process, it is yes and amen to your promises. And that hope, that thing you hope for, is going to come to pass. But if Satan can stop you, either from things in your past or things he's doing now or what people say, however, if you were the devil, wouldn't you do everything you could to steal people's hope? You're going to steal their hope. He's more concerned about your hope than your faith. Because if you have tons of faith but nothing that you're hoping for, your faith is going to be an awesome relationship between you and the Lord, but without any fruitfulness. The fruitfulness is what you're hoping for. If you have a relationship that, you know, is just awesome between the Lord, or you feel like it is, and you're just full of faith, but you don't believe for family salvation, Satan's not that afraid of your faith. If you're not believing for the promises he's given you for the call on your life, if you're not believing for complete healing or deliverance, then Satan still has such a stronghold in your life to keep you from what? Glorifying the Father. Making what the Lord did seem as it doesn't work. And that's mocking the cross. That's mocking Christ. So we want to be people of great faith. So look at this again. Romans 15:13. And may the God of hope, may the God of earnest expectation of his promises fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So if you don't have hope, you're going to lose your peace. You're going to lose your joy. So the God of hope, the God of promises, the God who will deliver, the God who will set free, the God who is bigger than anything the devil has done, this God, if you hold on to hope, if you trust him and believe in him, and we saw at the beginning of this teaching in verse 4 that the word of God is written for instruction, encouragement, and if we have patience, we'll develop hope. And this God of hope wants to fill us with joy and peace in believing. So, as you increase in faith, your relationship with God, and as you begin to truly expect the promises of God to work in your life, you're going to be filled with joy and peace in your believing. That's when you can know that you're getting close to having it, when you're not afraid anymore. Doesn't it sound like if you have joy and peace, fear has lost its power? When you really have joy, see, I have joy and peace about my son being completely healed, even though the actual believing and walking this through has taken years. And I've endured and I persevered. But there came a point, no matter what the enemy was up to, he could not touch my hope. He couldn't touch the hope. No, my hope is that my son will be completely, absolutely delivered. The hope is that my son will not have any side effects from the journey he's been on to as fighting the enemy for his own life. And the things I've actually hoped for, faith has produced. When the doctor said he'd never even be 5 feet tall, hope said, no, Lord, don't let the enemy steal 1 inch from him and he's 6 feet tall. When the doctor said he'll be almost blind from cataracts, hope said, no, even in the medication, whatever's poisonous, no poison shall harm him. And when they did the eye checkup with all these interns watching to see all these cataracts on this young man, he had perfect vision without a single cataract. When the doctor said, well, this much medications are going to cause this, this, and this, when they went to run the test, hope said, I earnestly expect that no poison shall harm him, and anything in the medications that he needs for this season, thank you for that, Lord, but the poisons can't harm him. And I believe that, and he's had no side effects at all, which is unbelievable for someone on the kind of medication they've had him on. You know, they've had him on medications for people who've had transplants. I mean, they've just, the thing is, they have no problem with keeping him so medicated because he handles it so well. But they don't understand, my earnest expectation is for him to be off all the medications, not just maintain well on the medications. So I want you to see something about hope. You need to develop hope for the entire package that God promises you. And do not compromise with the enemy. I mean, you believe for it. You're going to contend for it. You've got to hold on to it. Hope is connected directly with the promises that God has in his word for you. Now, he will build up your faith to get those promises, by his direct word to you, through prophecy, through songs that you just happen to come on, and it's exactly what you need to hear. So get a hold of this. Faith is God himself and your relationship with him, and you seeking him and you going after him, and him supernaturally coming past the natural circumstances and encouraging you, so that that thing you're hoping for, you really get the believing for, and it happens. I think we've so focused on faith that people have forgotten the hope. So it's really important to take some time and say, what are you hoping for? Because if you're not hoping for anything, your faith will produce nothing. So just, you need to just take some time. What am I hoping for? What's my earnest expectation that I'm going to receive because of my faith in God? You know, for me personally, it's for this ministry to be what God has promised me through prophetic words, through, you know, I've had hope that every bill would be paid, and every bill has always been paid. God's breaking my poverty mentality, everything that hinders me from believing for all that God's promised me. I'm now battling against even one drop of a promise being taken from me. You know, I'm finding the lies that I've believed, you know, the lies that the enemy has strategically caused me to believe. And so it's increasing my hope for the real promises he's given me. And it's encouraging my faith, my relationship in him, to believe for that. You need to understand the God of hope will give you joy and peace in your believing. Wow, joy and peace in my believing is a lot different than intellectually trying to struggle and make the word of God work for me. It's not a bondage kind of thing. It's not a thing like, oh, if I don't do this, then I won't get this. No, that's in a different playing field. That's in fear. That's in the enemy's arena. In real faith, there's this knowing God, trusting God, watching God work that breaks down the fear so we can begin to hope. When Satan takes your hope, when he takes your hope, he's able to steal from you. He's able to rob from you. He's even able to kill you. So God wants us to be a people of hope, because we have a God of hope. And you can kind of understand where are you at in the area of trusting God and hope. How's your joy level? And how's your peace? Do you have joy and peace in what you're believing? If you don't have joy and peace in what you're believing, then you need to study all that. Well, the joy of the Lord is my strength. No wonder I'm tired. No wonder I don't have the joy of the Lord as my strength. So you need to spend more time worshiping and praising God and trusting him and being filled up in your spirit, man. You need that joy of the Lord as your strength. And then that peace that passes understanding, we have an entire teaching on peace, that we need to really stay in that place of peace. Peace is a place, peace is an atmosphere that it surrounds us when we quit allowing the devil to bring fear into our situation. The Bible says he'll guard your heart with peace. See, the minute you lose your peace, you need to get still and seek God. How many people make major decisions in the middle of crisis? I don't. It's like, I remember when I was at the hospital with Mitchell way back, and they wanted us to sign some papers for him to have these kind of tests, and he wanted me to agree that he had a disease and all this stuff. And I mean, the pressure was unbelievable. I mean, we sat in this room all day long almost. And then it was very uncomfortable too, you know, where it wasn't like a nice little waiting area. And then right when it's time for closing and all the nurses, everybody's trying to clean up around you, they come in to try to get you to sign these papers. And so they put this pressure on you, and they don't mean to. They think they're doing the right thing, but I knew it was orchestrated by the enemy. And I finally had to say, I mean, they tried to talk my husband into signing the papers, to make me sign the papers, tried to make me seem as an unfit mother if I didn't sign the papers. Try to talk my son into even signing the papers. And I finally said, look, he's had this whatever it is for a couple of years. And 1 week isn't going to matter for me to go and seek the Lord. I'm not signing anything till I have peace. That's exactly what I said. I am not signing anything till I hear from the Lord and I have peace. And that broke it. Don't make any major decisions without peace. None. Because if you are, your heart's not being guarded. You're probably walking into a trap. You're probably getting into a big mess. We need to be people who so are dependent upon God that we don't make any decision until we know that we know He's guiding us and He guides us with His peace. He doesn't guide us with fear. He doesn't guide us with, you better hurry up and do this. He doesn't guide us with intimidation. He doesn't guide us with accusing others. He doesn't guide us with anything to do with fear. It's just peace. Peace that passes all understanding. So, you know, when we teach, you know, for this spiritual warfare series and these DVD teachings that we're doing, you can't just take one topic and not see how much it interacts with all of it. This is about a walk with God. This is not about working a system. This is about a walk with God. It is not about working a system, but His word gives us instruction. He is the God of hope. So I encourage you to really take the time to write down a list of what you're hoping for. And you may, even as you write the list, you might be so beaten up by the enemy that you don't earnestly expect anything. So write the list based on, if I could have anything I want, based on God's word, if God could really make me strong enough, if God could really work in my life, based on His word, what would I expect? Healing, family salvation, to have all your needs met according to His riches and glory. Some of you would have calls on your life to be chosen, to have a calling and to be chosen to serve God. You know, and this should be something also that might take some time to really pray. To have relationships that glorify God. Now, some of these you've got to really seek the Lord and say, Lord, you're going to have to show me. You're going to show me your promise. Tell me what it is that you are going to use the faith you're going to place in my heart to bring forth. It's not like a wish list of what you think you want, and then you just come up with what you think you should do. This is about, see, it's about the God of hope. What is it that God wants to give you? What is it that Jesus paid to give you? Some things are yes and amen. Healing is yes and amen. Family salvation really is yes and amen. But what neighborhood to live in, or what, those are things that God has to show you. Those are things you have to put everything on the altar and not have an opinion. So those are things that the Lord is in charge of. This isn't like you're hopeless and God, could you please snap to it and bring these things to pass in my life? Excuse me, God, I'm busy here. No, that's not the attitude. The fear of the Lord says, Lord, I don't even know where I should live. I want to live where you want me to live. I want to live right in the middle of your will. I'm not even going to pretend to know what you have for me. There, you know, 10 years ago or longer than that, when the Lord called me to full-time ministry, I didn't put on my wish list to have a church. I didn't even put on my wish list to have a church. You know, I certainly didn't put on my list to have a church that we had to really work hard and renovate and have a thrift store. You see what I'm saying? This isn't about what I want. This is about, God, what do you have for me? What can I believe you for according to your word? Because I've got the fear of the Lord to say, I only want what He wants. This is the church I want. I wouldn't trade what He's given me a heart for and what He's given me for the fanciest building in the nicest part of town. I have no desire for that. Because I want to reveal what He wants me to reveal about Him. There's nothing wrong with God giving somebody a beautiful church in the nicest part of town. People in the nicest part of town need a Savior too. But what will glorify the Father in your life, okay? So are you kind of getting this? It's all about, you have to have that relationship and that faith growing. You actually need faith to begin to have hope, but you have to have hope based on God's word and his promises to you so that your faith can begin to produce or bring to pass that thing that you hope for. So the two really, really go hand in hand. Let's look at Galatians 5:1. Then stand firm in the freedom with which Christ made us free, and do not be held again with the yoke of slavery. When God says to stand firm, he's talking to us. He's not going to stand firm for you. You have to stand firm. You have to get to a place where you will not be moved by your circumstances. You will not be moved by what other people are doing. You will not be moved by what looks impossible. You will not be moved by what the IRS is saying. You will not be moved by what anyone is saying. You will not be moved, but you're going to stand firm in the freedom which Christ made us free, and do not be held again with the yoke of slavery, which means you can get free and be taken back into slavery. So one way not to do that is to stand firm. Behold, it says, I, Paul, verse 2, say to you that if you are circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man being circumcised that he is a debtor to do all the law. You, whoever are justified by law, you were severed from Christ. You fell from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness out of faith. Okay. The hope of being right with God comes from faith. And what he's talking about here to the Jews is, look, I know before Christ, you had to go through this rule and this rule and this rule and this rule, and you had to do all these things to try to be in right standing with God. But that didn't work. That failed. That was just a foreshadow of something that we couldn't accomplish that Christ came and accomplished for us. So don't go back to works. That's what he's talking about. Don't go back to works. Don't go back to bondage. Don't go back to trying to make things happen. But by the Spirit of God, but eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness out of faith. So by the Spirit of God, and only by his Spirit, he wants us to eagerly expect to move into the right standing with God. He wants us to eagerly expect that what Christ did is going to put us in the right place with God. To eagerly expect that, to eagerly hope. It says, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness out of faith. So we earnestly expect to be in right standing with God because of faith, because of trusting and believing and developing a relationship with God, because of believing and developing a relationship with God through the word of God, through all the things we're going to study, that how we develop faith. Because of that, I expect earnestly hope to be righteous. It's important that I'm righteous. Because if my righteousness is in Christ, it's not in what I do, but it's in who I submit myself to. I submit myself to you, Lord, not the devil. I submit my hearing to the word of God, not the world. I submit everything about me to you, Lord. And my hope, my earnest expectation is that I am going to be in your will. The minute I'm in God's will, I'm righteous. Do you understand that? It's not about being perfected. That's a walk. Being perfected is a walk of sanctification through the working of the Holy Spirit. But there can be no sanctification if we're outside of God's righteousness. Everything has to happen in Christ. Everything has to happen in his righteousness. How am I righteous? I'm righteous because I earnestly expect that what God promises in his word, that Christ became my righteousness, is true. I earnestly expect that it's not based on my works, it's based on my obedience to the word of God. Therefore, I don't have to understand it. It does not have to be lining up. I'm just going to believe it because God said it. I'm going to have joy and peace in my believing. Yeah, but don't you see what the doctors are saying? No, I'm purposely not going to see what the doctors are saying. I'm going to maintain my joy and my peace in the midst of the storm. Why? How can you do that? Because I am the righteousness of Christ. Because I am not in blatant sin. Because I'm allowing God to do the work he wants to do in my heart. Because I'm learning from his word. I'm repenting when he shows me to repent. I'm submitting myself to him. And I'm not running away from him. And I'll go through the difficult things trusting God. I'm not in charge of my life. God's in charge. And when everything falls apart and you realize the things you hope for aren't happening at all and you're losing your hope, when you start losing your hope, you need to come and check your righteousness. Am I in God's will? You don't lose hope in God's will, folks. You don't lose hope in God's will. But when hope starts disappearing and your faith wavers and you don't even know if you believe anymore, you don't even know who you are in Christ anymore, what's happened is you've gotten out of his righteousness. You've gotten out of the place of blessing. You've gotten out of the place where God can, where God comes and meets with us. Aren't you thankful it's not based on our works? Because none of us are righteous, not one of us. Not one of us could have real hope based on how good we are. Our hope is based on what Christ has done. Our hope is based on that Christ did it because he says he loves me. And he says that I have value. And he says that he has taken me from the authority of the enemy and placed me under his authority. See, when I walk out of that place of his righteousness by trying to do it myself, make my own way, be in charge, then I'm just out there really fighting the devil on my own. And guess who's going to win if you're fighting the devil on your own? Guess who's going to win if you're fighting the devil on your own? It doesn't even matter if you're using scripture to do it. We need to wake up and say, you know, we need the fear of the Lord that when we begin to recognize I'm losing hope, when we begin to recognize that, you know, this faith thing isn't so much about me knowing God as it is about me, then we need to recognize something's wrong. I missed that place of his righteousness, of being in his will. There's only one safe place on planet Earth. It's in the will of God. And people will tell you, if they walked with God for a season and they begin to do their own thing or they don't deal with what God's shown them to deal with and they get outside of God's will, let's not over-spiritualize that. That's one of the, I think that's one of the worst doctrines. That people are starting to get the tar beat out of them. Nothing's going right. Everything's falling apart. And they say they're being attacked because they're on the front line. Well, Jesus was on the front of the front line. And he walked right through the mess. I'm not saying the enemy won't attack big time to stop you. I'm saying the attack won't affect you if you're in right standing with Christ. And if it does affect you, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Go to God and say, what is going on? Help. And he will. He says, call to me in time of trouble. But we got to get rid of all this doctrine that doesn't line up with truth. I mean, let's be really honest, since this is a spiritual warfare Bible study. How many know that there are people who do not know God at all, and they have horrible attacks of the enemy? I mean, as horrible as any attack any major Christian person has ever had. Sometimes worse. Why? Because they're made in the image of God and the devil is determined to destroy them. So we need to get, there are also Christians who have had horrific attacks of the enemy who were not on the front line of anything. They were barely saved. I think people's most difficult attacks many times happen before you know Christ, because you don't even have a hiding place. Satan wants to take you out before you find Christ. So we need to really get free from doctrine that makes it sound like the more spiritual we are, the harder we're going to get hit. I don't want to buy into that because I don't want it to happen for me. And I don't see it in the Word of God. And I'm not coming against it. You know, maybe the Lord has warned somebody. Well, if the Lord's warning me of something, I'm going to go ask him, would you show me? Because if I'm in your will and right standing, the enemy should not be able to touch me. We have got to get away from doctrine that causes people to be afraid to do what God's called them to do because they're going to be so attacked. I mean, I was really maybe only very powerful in my own head at the time of the attack of my daughter, where the enemy killed her. That's about as bad as the attacks get, I guess. I don't want to find out if they can get worse. I don't want them to get worse for me. I earnestly expect they're not going to get worse for me. I've read the word. So we need, think about it. If our believing opens the way for the enemy's attacks, And we believe if we become more spiritual, we're going to have a stronger attack from the enemy. What did we just do with our belief system? We just gave him a welcome mat without the protection of God. The Lord wants us at such a place of faith that no matter what the enemy does, we are hidden in Christ. And we are completely protected. Because if I'm hidden in Christ, he's certainly not afraid of, you know, a territorial demon. You know, he's not. They're all the same to him. They're already defeated. They're all the same to me. If I'm in him, they are already defeated. This attack has already lost. That's my earnest expectation. My earnest expectation and hope is that he has already defeated the enemy. So when it comes to spiritual warfare, we need to have the earnest expectation, not that it's going to get so terrible, we're going to go through horrible stuff, because you're going to get what you believe for. But we need the earnest expectation that I'm hidden in Christ and he's already defeated the enemy. Big or small, it's all the same if they're defeated. And my thing is to just be obedient to God. Be obedient to God and repent when I miss it. Repent when I see that the enemy is bigger than me. Because if the enemy's bigger than you, it's because you're out of God's righteousness. I mean, if you're hidden in Christ, how big can the enemy be? Oh, Jesus, are you afraid of this one? What do you mean you're not afraid of this one? Didn't you hear all the prophetic words about this horrible attack that's going to come? We need to get rid of anything that's not in here. Because if it's not in here, it's causing us to earnestly expect some pretty bad stuff. I earnestly expect that God's going to protect me from his tribulation because I found that in here. We need to begin to understand what we believe. It's not because we believe it that it comes to pass. It's when I'm in agreement with truth, the enemy has no weapon that he can form against me. When I'm in agreement with truth, the enemy has no weapon that he can form against me. But if I change truth or over-spiritualize my importance or whatever, I have made the way for the enemy to attack. Now, don't judge people who've gone through strong trials, because you'll make a way for the enemy to attack then too. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just be concerned about the Word of God and the Lord working in your life, and then pray for everything else. Don't break spiritual laws and compare yourself and this kind of thing. Just say, Lord, you know, Paul says if anybody preaches a gospel other than the gospel that he preaches, they're cursed. Well, there's a lot of cursed Christians walking around. There's a lot of cursed Christians who are moving in the things of God, who are maybe superstars in some of the conferences and things, who are still in certain areas of life under curse because they've changed the Word of God. And it's for us just to walk in love and pray for them and pray that they'll see these scriptures and whatever the Lord shows us to do. God is restoring the church so we don't have all revelation. We don't have the full knowledge of Christ. But we can begin to see, is it in the Word? What does God say about it? We will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. But when I see persecuted for righteousness' sake, I see Paul being pulled in before kings and preaching the gospel to a whole nation. I see the Lord asking him, do you want to stay or do you want to go? I see the Lord telling him ahead of time, and it is the Lord, and he knows it, and there's fruit in his life, and the Lord saying, you know, you're finished with what you're doing here, and now you're going to die a martyr, you're going to get a martyr's crown, and it's going to bring forth much for the kingdom. I do believe that there can be this suffering or these situations, but I do believe it's not going to be every person, and I do believe we shouldn't be looking for it, and I do believe there ought to be an unbelievable amount of fruit in your life. And Paul had done the things that God had given him to believe. Plus, he killed Christians. It may have just been that he was going to die for the Lord because he killed people in the name of the Lord. And so we don't have to embrace that kind of thing. We just wait and see what the Lord instructs us to do. But there was joy and there was peace in it. There was joy and peace in his believing. There was a relationship so full of faith and maturity that he already rather be with the Lord. And so we have to really not judge one another, but we have to personally see what the hope is for us. What is the earnest expectation? What is God calling us to? And really, don't get all worked up on these doctrines that cause everybody to think we're all going to die some horrific death. But also, no, if, you know, the enemy attacks and we're going to go to prisons and different things you see in the Bible for righteousness' sake, God will be there. You know, if I've got to go to prison and God for the right, for the Bible, for the Word of God, and God has me leading everybody to the Lord and angels coming in and talking to me and taking chains off of me and all that, it's going to be pretty cool. But I'm not asking for that. You know, if you get thrown into the lion's den, don't ask for it. But it'll be cool if God shuts the mouth of the lion. Just be in right standing with God. Just be led by the Spirit of God. And there's so much we have to get out of our hearts to even get to that place. And that's why we have so many teachings to help people to really get free from these lies, to get free from these fears, to get free from these things that have been sown in our heart by the enemy so that he can have his way in our life and then cause everyone to blame God. So, Father, we thank you as you're going to begin to build hope in us, that we're going to be serious about finding your promises in the Word and believing those. And, Lord God, that you would encourage our faith. Lord, our trusting in you, our being strong in you, our being built up in you, so that we can have those things, Lord, that you've promised in your Word. And Father, that we can eagerly expect the things that you've promised to come to pass in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.